How beautiful that he ended his company Bible with, "We're not done.
We're not done." Well, that was his whole reason.
This is the end. We're not done.
For IKEA to be immortal, the company itself to be immortal without him, even though he was the sole owner. Hey, there's more to be done. You know, I love that because that's very close to something that I often say, no matter how far into a project or say this lifetime that I'm in right now, it's like, just getting started.
And I love how they also say, happiness is not reaching your goal.
Mm.
Happiness is on the way.
Out west where the sun always beams bright, Midland skies keep the hustle in sight. BAM Consultants got the blueprint intact. For dreamers on the grind, they got your back. Championing dreams from the ground to supreme, providing that spark, igniting the team. Marketing flow strategies that gleam. BAM in Midland, building your dream.
BAM! All right. Founders Focus.
Let's do this. I'm so excited.
Gina Lewis, here we go.
It's so good to be back with you again.
Always.
And another excellent homework assignment.
Absolutely. That's changing things.
Absolutely. Yeah. You gave me this homework assignment. I listened to like half the podcast, studied this person a little bit, immediately stopped and started revamping my business.
So you text me that and I was like, that's a question I'm going to ask. So
yeah.
So
we'll get into this a little bit, but this person, their mantra was really cost control. And I've noticed a theme, and they talked about a theme with the greatest, largest businesses, that cost control is everything.
Everything.
That's how you outdo everyone else, is cost control.
Right.
And we had originally been approaching business from a do as much for everyone as possible, which, you know, we want to do as much for everyone as possible. But this founder proves that you can do more eventually with cost control.
Right.
That gives you resources.
Gives you resources. It gives you the cash flow to operate more how you want to.
Absolutely. So as we grow, we'll be able to do more, but we have to watch how much we do for everyone right
It's now. Like the old, like the same, like what do you call it? Analogy, I guess, of the, if you're in an airplane, right? Put your own on, your own mask on
first. Oxygen mask on first.
Before you help anybody else. You have to be good before you can help.
Mm.
Right?
I like that.
I think that's, and it's kind of counterintuitive in a way, right? Because, well, why can't I just help, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're depleting your resources, and if you're not on a solid foundation of your own resources,
right,
how can you, right?
That's right.
So, yeah.
It's a tough call.
Yeah.
It's a tough call because, you know, as a founder, you go into business wanting to help as many people as possible, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's your goal.
Right.
And you've got to control how you do that.
Yeah. It has to be intentional.
Intentional.
Yeah. That's where the impact comes from.
Yeah. Agreed.
So the individual we're talking about is the founder of IKEA. The IKEA way, right?
IKEA way.
An extremely unique individual, Ingvar Kamprad.
Yes.
Yeah, I pronounced that right.
Estimated net worth in the billions.
Billions.
Again, like multi-billions.
Yes.
Just a mind-blowing number.
And 100% controlled by him.
Yeah. 100%. That's a fantastic thing to point out, because at one point in time, his business, IKEA, was known as the wealthiest business owned by a private individual,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Just mind-blowing that he held on to control for
his entire life.
His entire life.
Yeah. I mean, he passed away when he was, 90? How old was he?
91.
91.
And ran this business from, This is another thing that made me question how I'm doing business too. I feel like I'm a little behind. He started this business at 17.
Wow.
What am I doing with my life? Get it in gear, Gina.
You know, he's one of those rare individuals.
Truly.
You know, because there's that story where he first sold matchbooks when he was a kid.
Yeah, at 5 years old.
Five, right? Not five. You know, young adolescent, you know.
Not just coloring, no. Not.
Oh, five.
Selling much.
And that was, he got his aunt, or I forgot who it was, that bought him 88 cents for a matchbook.
Right.
He bought 300 of them.
It learned how to buy in bulk.
Bought in bulk.
To save money.
Mm-hmm.
And then was able to sell each matchbook for
just a few cents more than he got it for. But after selling all of them, he had this huge mountain of cash for a five-year-old kid.
That was mind-blowing to him.
And then he would sell anything and fish, everything.
Pins.
Seeds.
Seeds.
Yeah.
He was definitely born to be an entrepreneur.
100%. You know.
Born and bred.
One of those innate things. So, you know, you've heard that entrepreneur, like there's, you know, well, everybody who's in a business is a salesman, right?
Right.
A salesman. But the epitome of what a salesman is, right, it's mostly is what makes an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And that's for me, that's something that's huge, like a gap that I know that to be intentional about.
Yeah.
Because I'm not intentional about selling by nature.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
By nature is like, you see what I see, right?
Yeah. You see here's what I love and the value.
Here's the value.
It should sell itself,
It should sell itself, right?
Yeah.
Why do I have to tell you?
Yeah.
You know? But no. We do.
Yeah.
We do have to sell ourselves, sell our services, sell everything. That's constantly, that's what it is.
Agreed.
So that's that was a huge learning for me to see that.
I always tell my team, we sell because we care so much.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We believe what we're offering is unparalleled.
Mm-hmm.
And we care so much about our clients that we're going to share that message.
Yes.
It's important. It's
so important. So that's really cool that you brought that up. So I've been getting phone calls.
Okay.
Right? And somebody's...
You don't owe money for your toll tag. Right. I'm just kidding. Or so, your bonds.
Something. Right? They're trying to get me to purchase their services.
Okay.
Right? And this lady, she's extremely sweet. And she's just really good, you know? And I really appreciate somebody who is selling you without being obnoxious or not, without being, I'm not gonna say pushy because she's called like three times.
Slimy is the word I like to use.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes you just get that feeling. You're like, this is disgusting.
Yes. Right.
It's not out of care or.
Right. Exactly. And so
when they don't even know your business,
mm-hmm.
and they're just coming at you like, I've got something for you. Like,
yeah.
Get to know me a little bit.
And I've already told her the reasons why I'm saying no. Mm-hmm. Right. I've already shot her down.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but still she finds a way to,
I mean,
you know,
there's something to be said for that.
There really is. And I respect that.
Yeah.
And I told her, so it's like, you know what? It's, I'm still not going to sign on. However, I just want to tell you, you are good at what you do.
Dyson would call right? that dogged persistence.
Dogged persistence. I was like, you're good though.
Yeah.
Like you're like, I really do appreciate your skill. And she was, and then what she goes into, she's like, well, it's because I believe in this company and I believe in our services.
I like that.
And I believe that we're really offering value and that can really help people.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, wow.
You can feel it.
Yeah. It was authentic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't already have something in place with a business that I trusted.
Yeah.
Let's talk, you know, let's talk. But, That's so true, right? Care and know that what you're offering is going to benefit.
Yeah. And that relationship she's building with you, you know, you never know what's going to happen to the business you work with currently.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, hopefully they're massively successful.
Right. But you never know.
You never know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got that relationship with you. So that's important.
Because she could always call and I'm like, oh, hey, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of most salespeople, you know, get the slimy ones.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't even want to answer the phone.
They just have a quota to make for their quarter.
Yes.
Yeah. It hits different.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels different.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of that too. It's funny, when I started my business, I didn't realize how much we would be sold to thought we would be in the business of, you know, trying to find clients, but no, it's having to decide which vendors we take calls with and partner with and things like that.
Right. Because, yes, because we've been burnt. You know, we have a partner who we think, okay, yeah, they're going to do good. We'll send people their way. And before you know it, we start getting calls. Hey, this didn't go so well. Oh, hey. And I'm like, oh, man. And it leaves a bad taste in people's mouth. And, you know.
It reflects on you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's tough.
So finding the right people to work with makes a ton of difference.
Gosh, this founder, Ingvar Kamprad, he covers so much of that.
Really? Yeah.
People you trust and taking responsibility and all the things. I cannot wait to deep dive into some of his life lessons. We talked about how he started IKEA, which stands for, by the way, his name, Ingvar Kamprad. Those are the first two initials, I and the K.
Yeah.
And then he was raised on his grandparents' farm, Elmtrid. I may not be saying that right.
You're close.
Elmtrid. And that was in Almholt. So those are the last two initials of IKEA. And IKEA, where the flagship store is
still
in Almholt. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's an amazing story in itself.
Yeah.
So now we know the initials of IKEA, which is a fun like road trip thing. Like, oh, there's an IKEA. Did you know that stands for Ingvar Kamprad Elmtrid Almholt? A farm and a community and a human family.
From a extremely small community.
Oh, so small.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about this later, but he had said if we consulted the experts first and asked them if Almholt could support a store like IKEA, they would have said no way.
Nope, don't even try it.
Yeah. So, you know, all these founders, and by the way, Kamprad lived from 1926. So, I mean, the Great Depression didn't just affect the U.S. It was
global.
World impact.
Yeah.
And so he lived through a lot of hard times. And he passed in 2018, so not too long ago.
Yeah.
Every founder, every entrepreneur, I'm seeing a reoccurring theme. They have these obstacles in life that they have to find a way to overcome. And Ingvar was no exception.
Right.
He was dyslexic.
Yeah.
And so no teacher could teach him how to read early on. I mean, it was a massive struggle.
Yeah.
And so many people would have, you know, seen that or struggled with that and said, that's it for me.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Good. Can't achieve because I can't read.
Right.
Which, by the way, is drilled into us as like the foundation of success.
Right. Right.
I'm just going to sit with that for a second because that just makes me burn inside.
Well, I think that's what he was doing. Like he was burning, you know?
Takes that fire sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you're told you're dumb, you know?
Yeah.
Why can't you read? Everybody else can read.
He still made jokes about that.
Carried that throughout his life.
Yeah.
I'm a little dumb. Right. But it was, I think it almost became like, I think he was genuine in saying it, but then it became almost like his badge of honor, his mantle, right?
Yeah. Out of spite.
Yeah. Look, I'm dumb.
What are you doing over there, smarty? Smarty pants.
And look what I did with this.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so inspiring. Also, the story about the farm is so gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
His grandparents moved there. Was it from Poland that they moved?
Yes.
And this is Sweden, right? Almholt, Sweden. They moved to Sweden and started this farm. And 3 years into running the farm, the grandfather realized it's...
Yeah, not working.
Not working. Mm-hmm. It's bankrupt. They can't pay the mortgage. So much burden he can't provide. He felt like he could not find a way out and provide a way for his family. His wife is pregnant. And didn't they have two kids on the way or something?
Pregnant with
two kids.
Yeah.
Sees no way out and commits suicide.
Yeah.
Leaving his pregnant wife with Maybe it was the two children they already had, and she was pregnant.
She was pregnant, right. That's what it was. It's tragic.
With the next kiddo. Tragic either way. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine finding a way to pick myself up from those ashes. And she didn't just pick herself up from those ashes. She got familiar with the company books and got the finances in order.
Yeah.
She became very diligent in everything she did.
And made that farm extremely successful.
Yeah.
With young Ingvar watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the grandfather's suicide was the same year
Ingvar was born. Yeah.
So he didn't have to live through that, but he saw the fire in his grandfather.
Right. Yeah.
And the structure and how she ran everything and her expectations for people as well. She had extremely high expectations.
Yeah.
That didn't sit well with all of the grandkids.
Right.
She didn't take to all the grandkids.
Right.
Equally.
And Ingvar was her favorite.
Yeah.
That she really put everything on him.
Yeah.
You know, from obviously, I mean, when you're five and you're already making sales.
Yeah.
You know? That's
good. That's admirable.
Oh my God. That's a genius, right? Yeah. There's nothing dumb about it. That is the definition of genius.
And bravery and courage. It takes bravery to go out and try something, to talk to strangers and to, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do things differently.
I think at five, you wouldn't have that.
Fear?
Yeah. You know, there's a... That you know, just thinking about that, right? Because a kid really has no fear.
Mm-hmm.
Only what they're taught.
Yeah.
Only a what kid. They're taught to fear.
Some kids are extremely shy and introverted. It's really hard to get them to chat, but you're right. I think most kids would strike up a conversation and think everyone's a friend.
Yes.
Maybe because he got started so early, that made it such a natural thing for him.
Right.
But still, the obstacles of, you know, being dyslexic, his grandmother wearing the pants in the family and being very rigid, high expectations, overbearing, I think was the word they used for her. His mother passed early as well.
53.
That hits home. Mm. My father passed at 53. Mm. And that is just... That's an age you're not ready to be without a parent. I don't know if you're ever ready.
You're not ready, but that's young.
Very young. That's young. And as I approach that age, it makes me think of all the life I have left, hopefully, to live.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine how many times he stopped in his life and reflected on, my mom didn't see this. She didn't see this. She didn't see this.
Yeah.
That had to have been very tough. So many family traumas. What I really found interesting, and this is kind of an uncomfortable thing to talk about, especially today as we're recording this podcast, we're celebrating Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
His grandparents were very pro-Nazi.
Yeah.
And they indoctrinated him to believe that Hitler was doing great things by uniting the Germans.
German people. Yeah.
And bringing them together.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the exact story, but she was thrilled when they took over some land and conquered another country or another area. And he was raised, I mean, by the time he was 12, he fully believed that this was a great thing for Germany and Germans. Right. And so it did not sit well with his customer base.
Mm-hmm.
Later years, when all of this finally came out. I mean, you don't exactly know a founder who they were at 12.
Right.
You know, you don't know the story of their childhood.
You just see the highlights that are in a news article or something and say, oh, he was part of this group.
Yeah.
Right. And went with it. But also, he had regrets.
Yeah.
Because of it. Not that he was getting the backlash, but because he did not identify with that.
Truly, he regretted it so much. He called it the greatest mistake of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard. As a 12-year-old, you know, how much ownership do you have over what you believe?
Right.
But it cost his company, his team, greatly.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they overcame that, and they're still a successful company today. But it did hit hard for a while.
You know, it's hard to imagine, but... From a kid, you hear your people that you respect and love imparting this belief system on mm-hmm. you. But so he couldn't read, right?
Right.
So even, you know, back then there was no internet. You know, you couldn't
yeah,
go on
true.
YouTube and listen to different ideas.
Surround yourself with people who think differently. Right. That is your...
He was in that bubble.
Echo chamber, I guess is what they call it.
Yeah. He was in a echo chamber from the day he was born.
Yeah.
Without the possibility of having... being able to read about other political ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why he really leaned in on what he could control immediately with his hands. Oh, I can buy this at this price, sell it this guy at this price, and I make this much. Okay, I can control that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cost. Oh, every time, there was a story in there where he, everything, he made a purchase, right? Made the agreement, and they were packaging it up or whatever. They're getting ready to, like, the bill of lading, they're ready to shut it down. And he would take that opportunity to ask for if they could not go lower on price.
Wow.
Like, after everything's done, I'm gonna ask one more time.
I mean, that's a great time to ask it because as a closer, you're like, we're at the finish line.
Here.
And you want to do everything you can to get it across the finish line. Oh, man, that like punches in the gut. Oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
This episode of BamBiz Talk is brought to you by Flash Mobile. Whether you're managing your business, chasing your dreams, or just handling life on the go, Flash Mobile gives you nationwide for GLTE coverage. No contracts and total freedom, all at a price that makes sense. Activate your plan in minutes. Bring your own device. Stay in control wherever life takes you. Contact us and make the switch today. And now let's get back to today's show.
He leaned in on his strengths.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think the political thing was, you know, he was indoctrinated. It wasn't his choice so much.
Do you believe everything you believed at 12?
Oh, my gosh. Some things.
Like, yeah. I mean, some things stick. It's like spaghetti.
Even though there's something completely impossible to a regular person, I still believe it's possible. Like, I will be able to move a cup with my...
Oh, you still work on that sometimes? Like, oh, I can do this.
Come on. It's
and sometimes, like, an earthquake comes inside, and you're like, look what I did. I do not believe everything I was taught to believe as a child. And that is, you know, determining your family identity is separate from your own identity.
Yes.
And having to grow and learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to sympathize or have any kind of empathy with someone who came from the perspective of this is great for Germany.
Right.
But I do have to have grace for a fellow human.
For sure.
Who grows up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, because there are also staunch supporters that supported all the way.
Yeah. Never changed their minds.
Right.
They will still to this day.
Contrary to objective facts and what happened.
Just human.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The human kindness, like, I don't know. So many obstacles. And I am learning through all of these entrepreneurs a rough and tough childhood, some fires in you that you can tap into that to achieve greatness.
Right. Yeah. I was going to make a comment on that earlier, like going through all that. Right, like going through the fire.
Yeah.
Right? It is transformative. Right? Going through those obstacles, having to overcome those obstacles, having to figure out a way by sheer will, perseverance, and outside the box thinking. Right?
Yeah.
Just how can we reach our goal? How can we be successful despite all this in front of us.
I was about to say those obstacles lead to success, but that's not what leads to success. And so I think I phrased it appropriately. You can tap into those obstacles to achieve success. There's something about the overcoming and the tenacity that goes into that.
Because you're not the same person.
No.
You're changed.
The same person. Yeah. Always changed. So there were two great writings that I know of that are from Ingvar Kamprad. One was his book that he finally agreed.
Yeah, he was getting requested over and over and over again, write a book. And
it's like, yeah, no. I mean, as a multi-billionaire, please tell us your ways.
Yeah, we must know.
We must know. And the only reason he agreed to do this after all these years of people begging was one of his writers framed it as it will help other entrepreneurs.
Oh, in that case, sure, I'll write a book.
That's an easy decision right there. Yeah. Why didn't they just say that in the first place? Oh, that was Leading by Design, the IKEA story. Mm-hmm. He has a very simple writing, and it's colloquially called the IKEA Bible.
Yes.
It's the testament of a furniture dealer. This is online. Anyone can access it. It's a short, quick, powerful read.
Yes.
Powerful read. It's got 9 sub-bullets in there.
Yeah.
9 easy-to-chew-on things that is what made IKEA so successful. But any founder can go look at this and tap into.
And make it their own to fit their own company.
Absolutely. Yeah. My goodness, why not? Why leave that resource untapped?
Yeah.
Number 1, you want to go through these 9?
Let's do it.
They're so good.
Yeah.
Why not? Number 1, the product range. And they called that our identity. And the product range, the goal of that was a wide range of well-designed furniture at prices so low as many people as possible can afford them. Mm. So it wasn't about exclusivity.
Yeah.
It was about reaching as many people as possible. Mm. And not just with anything, like well-designed furniture. And they talk a little bit later about what that means. Specifically, anybody could build a great desk for, what did they say, 5,000 kronos or whatever the...
Yeah.
But yeah. It takes thought, intention, mm-hmm. Only a great designer can design something amazing for 100 kronos or
yeah.
whatever that value conversion is. But right. I get the point. Anybody can design great furniture mm-hmm. that's expensive.
Right.
But it takes a great designer to design affordable furniture.
I love that part. So we're talking about, say, your product mm-hmm. range. So when you have a table... You want it, you know, the premium table is the high quality. You want it to have a nice surface. Mm-hmm. It's all about the surface of
absolutely.
A table.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. Right? Because you're using it. It's out. It's visible. It's
yeah.
popping, right? But a bookshelf, it needs a different type of quality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It needs to be strong, you know, internally. It has a structure that is going to hold all your stuff that you put
that's
in.
That's right.
Right? It doesn't have to have a, you know, everything have to be finished like you're going to have plates and cups and
yeah.
things thrown all over it. So there's a different, you put the design in a different capacity, like the materials you use are going to be of different quality. So
in a way that makes sense.
That somebody can afford it who needs it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Costs where they matter.
Yes. There you go. The allocation.
And because we're on number 1. You know, the product range, their identity. Let's talk about where they started too. IKEA started as a mail order company.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you remember getting JCPenney and Sears catalogs in the uh-huh. mail, like sniffing them and circling everything you wanted in your home someday? And you're like, I'm going to have these plates and this is going to be my bedding and this is going to be my, it's what I want for Christmas.
Right. Yeah. Just mail order.
Right. And that was pretty successful mm-hmm. to begin with. That was kind yeah. of the thing of the
that
day.
Was the thing, right? Everybody was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing,
and that he could reach the masses with mm-hmm. well-designed, affordable
from a little bitty town.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. makes sense to start that way.
You know, but then he did something super innovative.
Yeah,
you know, he created an exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
That was just the mail order. What's in the magazine, right? What's mailed out, but then hey, this is the prices and this is what it is. Now come and put hands on it and yes. see it for yourself. Wait, yeah. what?
Touch yeah, it. We're having, you know, it's exactly what you want.
Right.
Fall come in love with it in the store.
All right. Come sit in it. Come like kick your feet up on the desk. come smell it. Smell right? It. Like, yeah. Yes.
We've all ordered something that we get in the mail and we're like that is yeah. not what was advertised.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what they were running into. Mm-hmm. And he talked about the price wars too. You offer an ironing board for 12, someone's going to offer it for 11, someone's going to, and at some point in time, the quality starts right. to be impacted. Mm-hmm. So a way to overcome that was to have this well-built furniture. I think he sourced locally, local builders, so he mm-hmm. could save costs and they could come see the furniture and touch it in person. And that exhibition, they offered a free bun and coffee.
Yeah.
I'm there. That's right? breakfast.
Okay.
With community. Why not?
But he had an overwhelming crowd come to that.
Yeah.
Day one.
Wasn't it over 1,000
people? Over 1,000 people.
In a like, tiny little town.
Right. And like, what year was this? Like, it's 40, like 50.
Oh,
like
I should 40, know this. I don't like, know.
Like, if he started when he was 17 and 26, 36, 46, so like.
41.
41.
1941.
Wow.
Is that good math?
Is your math mathing?
Like, is my math. Like,
never do public
no,
math.
No, I think it's wrong.
So 26.
Oh, no. 36. Maybe
that's. Okay. 42. Well,
1942 ish. Oh, my gosh.
In the 40s, right? Like, during...
In the
like,
40s.
Like, I think at this point, we're at war.
We're at war.
You know, we're not yet, but the world is at war, mm-hmm. right? That area, you know, Poland, mm-hmm. right? That was part of Hitler's, you know, and Russia's, you know, in between battleground spot.
Very uncomfortable
it was,
time.
It was not a good time to be there.
Starting a furniture store.
But... people are traveling as a destination mm-hmm. to check it out, to go, yeah. right? And that's the wild part. Like,
yeah. Wow. Yeah, he was blown away at how many people would travel yeah. to save money.
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so think about all these small towns. Like, so when Walmart started, Sam's started popping up
yeah.
here and there, right? Well, Sam's isn't going to go to a small population. But because they know that people will travel hours for a day of shopping at Sam's or Costco.
That's true.
You know, so it's the same concept.
Absolutely.
You know, he kind of probably.
We do that now that I think about it. I'm so glad Midland's getting a Costco so we don't have to travel for our stock up days.
yeah.
Sorry. It just makes sense. I get it. Yeah. And yeah, so they started their flagship store in Almholtz, the A in IKEA. Wasn't that his father's store or
yes.
some kind of tie mm-hmm. to his family, which is so beautiful
right.
to think that you go visit that store and it's such a family heritage kind of thing.
Yeah, that
and
is it.
I'm sure his mom is, you know, looking down with yeah. so much pride.
Yeah, she's super proud for sure.
Oh, I could cry.
You know, just the legacy part of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, being able to tie your billion-dollar company
yeah.
to... a place that was there in your family, yeah, before you were born.
Humble.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Like, yeah, literally. What was it? I think somebody in there they said that he created from what he had in his hands.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which was nothing.
Really. He was very resourceful, and they talk about that in the IKEA Bible, the Testament of a Furniture Dealer. As well. So started as a mail order business, had an exhibition, opened the flagship store, started popping up other stores. You had mentioned a world citizen passport.
Yeah. So this is a really unique in companies. This is not advised.
Can't imagine.
Right. Especially back then. Right. So the original entity was created right in Sweden.
They had ties to Switzerland. He had gotten married and moved right. to Switzerland, and then after his wife's death, moved back to Sweden. Yeah.
But then
Sweden was like home.
Yeah. Yeah. But then also had another entity in Poland. Now this was all the same company.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine just having a structure of entities that owned each other, like a series. They were tied into trust that owned the companies, but also had a nonprofit, a foundation. So they were basically global. It was a global company.
That started in 1943. I finished the math 5 minutes later. oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, that was still privately owned. Mm-hmm. So this complex structure, which we're not going to get into because I'll chop it up, but it's composed of different legal business entities in different countries tied together through a trust. Or
I think that is very complicated.
Super complicated.
I thought this was about simplicity, Ingvar. What are we doing here?
Well, the reasoning for that is because he wanted to make sure that IKEA was immortal. That if he were to pass away, it would still be able to continue, thrive, and
grow. That is wild.
100% owned by him, but still be able to
operate. Unprecedented?
Yeah.
Unprecedented for its time.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't know of any other company structure in such a way.
Yeah.
And still remain 100% privately owned by the owner.
That is wild.
You know, those companies are usually the ones that go public.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about it, it was probably simple to him. Like, this just makes sense. Mm. It's a very simple structure, and it keeps things the way I want to keep them. Yeah. And
I think a big part of it, too, is because he was, I don't want to say that he wasn't intentional, but it was intentional in the fact that he had to overcome an obstacle. Mm-hmm. The structure was because there were so many obstacles that were thrown at him.
Internationally,
right. So from where he was, I know that there was competition, his competitors, mm-hmm. other furniture dealers. There was this group that was tied in, it was like a government, I'm not sure exactly.
That was trying to tax.
Right. In their name, they were actually called, part of their name was cartel, right?
Oh, but that's a bad sign.
That's a bad sign, right? But every time that he innovated and just completely was super successful, mm-hmm. they would cut off like suppliers. Like they put rules and regulations around the furniture industry.
Yeah.
That restricted him. So he would have to find ways around that. And I believe by creating entities in different countries that were owned by his entity, he could operate around.
What?
Yeah.
Wild.
And then so I believe creating a trust.
Oh my.
To run.
That's to be incredible. The ownership.
So
when I think of doing foreign business, I'm like, that's a lot to figure out.
Right?
All right.
Yeah. But if you had to and you were pressed.
That's true.
You know, and you're like, okay.
That was a goal.
Right.
Which, you know, in a small country like Sweden, you'd want to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially if you're furniture, because there's only so many people
So it makes sense that was a priority for him. But the way he solved that is really creative.
Super creative. The whole concept of IKEA and how they ship is innovative and creative.
How's that?
Right? So say you buy a table from mm-hmm. them. Well, you're not going to get this big box.
Oh, I know. IKEA has ruined some marriages. Just kidding.
how to put it together?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Don't need instructions.
I don't need instructions. Like, it comes with spare parts. These are all spares.
This is on purpose.
Pretty sure that's supposed to have four legs.
But that was a consequence.
New for its time as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That was completely...
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they would ship a table and a leg would break.
Mm.
That happened often. Because how careful are, you know, our delivery people when you're shipping something? It's just a box that needs to get from here to there, right?
I don't know any that are very careful.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So very creative in mm-hmm. how to solve problems. Plus, it puts some of that cost on the person who's buying it. But it also puts some of the convenience on the person who's buying it as well.
For sure.
And the cost savings.
Cost savings.
Some people would rather save a little bit of money and throw it together.
Right. Cost savings, higher quality.
Yeah.
Right?
And it arrives beautifully. Mm-hmm.
And like now I'm just, so the name of his book, Leading by Design.
Mm-hmm.
So the design, they had to design their own because some of the obstacles that were thrown at them through this cartel were like, because they would somehow block off his access to his suppliers and vendors.
Mm.
That were suppliers and vendors that they were using. So they would threaten their suppliers and vendors, don't use them or we're not going to work with you anymore. Or you lose access to doing business in Sweden.
Yeah.
Right? They're threatening who he's trying to. So he was like, well, let's design our own.
That's so genius.
And this design our own, it just happened by chance, one of his workers, I said, well, we could stop, you know, tables from breaking legs if we just kind of packaged it without.
I'd have been like, I love you so much.
And they can
put, you're my right, favorite.
You.
Employee of the month, every month.
Every month. You know, but it's cool how there was a problem.
Yeah.
And he solved it. And seemingly insurmountable problems.
Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
Ah!
If there's a problem.
I'll solve it.
Sorry. That was my squirrel brain. They were jamming back then.
They were jamming.
And, golly.
Yeah.
Hey there, bookworms and knowledge seekers. Ever wished you could find everything you need in one place? Look no further than the Ector County Library. We're not just about books, though we've got plenty of those, from the latest page turners to classic favorites. We're talking free high-speed internet, tech classes to boost your skills, and awesome programs for all ages. Kids can dive into storytime adventures, teens can hang out and study, and adults can join book clubs or learn something new. There's always something exciting happening at the library. So whether you're a student looking for homework help, a job seeker needing resources, or just someone who loves to learn, we've got you covered. Swing by your local Ector County Library and see what we're all about. It's more than just books. It's a whole world of possibilities. Ector County Library. Your adventure starts here.
The BAM Biz Talk Podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Pachuco's Restaurant. Craving authentic and eclectic cuisine in Midland? Well, Pachuco's has you covered. Located in downtown Midland at the ever-so-legendary and iconic historic building at 316 North Big Spring Street, Pachuco's blends rich and unique flavors in a conveniently pleasant and vibrant atmosphere. Enjoy the highest quality barbecue, savory tacos, burgers, and a variety of other mouth-watering dishes that reflect the spirit of a true Pachuco cuisine. Real, authentic, and just plain different. Check out their menu at www.pachucos432.com or call 432-218-8806 to inquire, or better yet, just show up and get your shine on at Pachucos, where heritage, exquisite taste, and hospitality come together for an unforgettable dining experience. Pachucos, Midland, Texas. Now back to the show.
So it's pretty cool how that happened.
It is really neat. Which leads us to number two in the Testament of a Furniture Dealer, the IKEA spirit, enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to go into everything with enthusiasm. Admittedly, he said, I'm not always the best example of this, but this is how business thrives. And if you're not enthusiastic about your job, that's one third of your life that is wasted. Why not show up with enthusiasm? Mm-hmm. It creates better work, better problem solving.
Yeah.
He had to have enthusiasm to overcome all the things that he had and get excited about. How can we fix this problem?
Yeah. I think it was said that he would cry himself to sleep with some of the problems that he had.
Mm-hmm. He was emotional.
He was a very emotional person. He was a hugger. He was a toucher, you know, like... It's very personable, very...
Yeah.
So these problems that he was facing, like, okay, there's no way out of this. Probably, you know, like... okay, so like his grandfather.
Yeah.
Right? Like seeing, like, there's no way out. Crying himself to sleep. But then wakes up. All right. Let's go for it. Mm-hmm. Let's get it. You know, there's a way through. There's a way out. You know, so it's just dealing with the negative side, you know, because I think if he was just a Pollyanna, right, from the get-go, oh, everything's going to work out, everything's perfect.
Yeah.
In that regard, you're missing the opportunity to be innovative.
Yeah.
You know, but...
The sadness.
Right.
The pressure. The pressure.
Knowing that this is real.
There are people who think... Emotions are a flaw in leadership and leading with emotions.
Yeah.
But he was a very emotional leader. Mm-hmm. And in number two, the IKEA spirit, enthusiasm, that attitude has a lot of emotions associated with it.
Yeah.
So I think that's an opinion. I would say there's strength in leading with emotions as well.
I think it's, as a leader, you do have to be measured.
Rational emotions? Is that a thing?
I think so.
Not irrational emotions? Like what?
Practical.
Happening?
Practical, rational.
Reasonable.
I like measured.
Effective emotions.
Effective.
Measured.
Yeah. So when you measure it, right, you're like, because if the founder comes in and is just had an emotional day and is all over the place, where employees are going to see that and be like, okay, what do we do?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Right? Like, but if it's measured.
I like that.
You know, and
show you're human.
Show
you're
human.
Relatable.
Mm-hmm. But
I'm grieving. I'm going through something.
Mm.
And here's how we get through it.
Here's how we get through it.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
That's good. Measured emotion is a leadership strength. Number three is a good one. And we talked about this earlier. Profit gives us resources.
Yes.
People see profit as such an ugly word.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, let's get over that.
Yeah.
Profit is valuable. It's what gives us resources to serve as many people as possible.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just serving the customers. It was serving his employees, his team, so many people benefited from IKEA Profit, even though he was the owner of it, sole owner of it. Profit gave them resources to do more.
Right. Like, he's never borrowed a dollar for IKEA.
Mind blowing. Self-funded. If you don't have cash, you don't have the resources.
Right.
Like, mind blowing.
Mm-hmm. What was it, not long after the 2-point-something million project, self-funded?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In today's world, we preach never use your own money.
Other people's
right.
money.
You always use other people's money, right?
Yeah. Oh, OPM.
OPM, other people's money.
Can't do math or alphabet. Can
you
be
got
a strong
this.
Founder. You got it. I have all kinds of obstacles I had to overcome.
He never used other people's money. He never got a loan to fund a large project. I think somebody accused him of getting loans and whatnot, and he took extreme offense to that.
What a horrible thing to be accused of. I mean, goodness gracious. Yeah. But yeah, it was so personal to him.
Yeah.
He ran the business on his own for as long as he could to build up a profit and bring on others.
Yeah.
And gosh, that's so cool.
So year one, it's him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he only hires just a few people over the next seven years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or wait, after 2 years, he has seven people.
Seven people, I think.
After 2 years. And this is not like accounting work or something that where, you know, one person is able to do. This is like furniture.
Yeah.
You know, this is packaging it, shipping it.
In a whole new way. Where do you get your training from? Where do you, you don't come on knowing the business of IKEA. It's different from everything else.
Everything's brand new.
Yeah.
Everything he does.
Which is a great segue into number four, reaching good results with small means.
Mm.
He's rumored to have been a staunch advocate for using both sides of the paper. I mean, here's what he says in this IKEA Bible. Expensive solutions to any kind of problem, I love this, are usually the work of mediocrity.
Oh.
That cuts.
Oh, yeah.
Expensive solutions.
Mm-hmm.
That's mediocre.
Yeah.
There's got to be a better way.
Right.
Yeah.
You just throw money at it.
That's so very good.
Wow.
Wasting resources was a mortal sin.
Yes.
And is a mortal sin. That's the culture of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Do not waste resources. It impacts people.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts your customers. It impacts the product. It impacts everything. It's a mortal sin.
It's like literally the devil's in the details.
Mm.
And he paid attention to the smallest details.
Yeah. Not overly, not wasting time on it, which is a perfect segue to number five. Simplicity is a virtue. He had said in his IKEA Bible, exaggerated planning. I love this too. There's so many good nuggets in this. I hope our listeners are just following along and eating this up. Exaggerated planning is the most common cause of corporate death. Can we just stop having meetings about meetings?
Meetings and meetings on meetings, yeah.
Exaggerated planning is the most common cause of corporate death. You know, why meet about work when you could work?
yeah, for sure. Like, exaggerated. Yeah, because it's like you're making a show about planning.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put on this big pomp and circumstance for planning.
Yeah.
Right?
And here's put my a plan. 20 slide PowerPoint and what we're going to do this week, or we could just do this week.
Right. That's funny.
Oh, so good.
What's the first one? Simplicity.
Simplicity is a virtue. We've covered the product range, wide range, well-designed, low prices. Number two, the IKEA spirit, the enthusiasm. You don't want to waste your life. And work is one third of life. Profit gives us resources is number three. Profit's a good thing. It's not a dirty word. Number four, reaching good results with small means. Use everything available to you.
Yeah.
Number five, simplicity is a virtue. Like, keep it simple. Just get things done. Do it a different way. Number six, this is a reoccurring theme with all the founders we've studied.
James Dyson, for sure.
Every single one.
Yeah.
Paul Graham. I mean, all of the founders we have studied so far. For sure, Hedy Green.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it a different way. Is James, there was another one that we did.
It's James Dyson.
Dyson. The other one started with a D.
Paul Graham.
Either way, we need like a running board.
Yeah.
All of them have said, do it a different way. Stop accepting what you're told is as gospel. Mm-hmm. Because, and we had said this earlier, if he had consulted the experts and said, hey, can Almholtz, this tiny little community, support a store like IKEA, IKEA never would have been.
Right. Because experts only go off of precedent.
Yes.
Like what's already happened. Because that's all that's possible.
This was another thing about him that I loved. He didn't have like a blueprint for his stores. He never wanted to have two identical stores.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could all learn from each other. Right. Someone would be doing something better than a different store. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the opposite of micromanaging.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
It's allowing, basically it's a democratization.
Empowering.
Of your company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if one store, you're right, if one store is going through something and they figure something out to do something a better way, well. Share in the knowledge.
No two stores are alike. They're also in different communities. They serve different people. They serve, they should be different. They have a different number of customers.
Right.
Like it just makes sense.
The type of products
are
probably slightly different.
If I have heard, I mean, I could, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard, why isn't Austin making the money that New York City office is? Or, you know, this comparison of this should be exactly the same.
Right.
They're different. Learn from each other and all achieve your level of success for that area. So I love that doing it a different way. Seven is concentration. And he says something powerful in there that really makes you think. The general who divides his resources will inevitably, invariably be defeated. So concentration, really have that laser focus.
Yes.
They're not a bowling alley / oil change / furniture company.
Right.
They are so good at furniture.
Mm-hmm. And everything that surrounds that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the vertical of furniture, right?
They have a wide range.
That's different, right?
Yeah, and that's what gave me pause at first. I'm like, concentration, they're not just building desks.
Right.
They're not super, they're not hyper-focused.
Right.
They're wide range.
Mm-hmm.
But that concentration is around furniture.
Right. So it's and you know, I struggle with this as well, right?
Yeah.
But it's what resources are, what well are you drinking from? Right? What well are you feeding yourself with?
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to build with? Right? That the concentration is in the use of your resources. Right? I think what he's talking to is if you're trying to allocate what resources you have into different verticals, like you know, the furniture, like you said earlier, a furniture store with an oil change.
And, yeah. Hey, you know, Joe, can you work the oil change?
Yeah. You know, that's a completely different set of foundational resources.
Yeah.
You know, so now your people are really split.
Spread thin.
Way too spread thin, right? Because there's no way to handle all that. But if you focus on your resources, that is, this is what we need for furniture, right? Well, what are all the different multiple, you know, limitless innovations that can come from there, right? Like, that's what I think he's talking about, is the concentration.
Yeah. So good. It took me a while to realize what he was talking about, but absolutely true. Concentrate. His thing was the best furniture. Ours is the most, like, the most sound cybersecurity solutions. Is that the soundest? I'm going to make that our soundest. I'm going to make that our tagline from a genius. Number 8 is taking responsibility. And I love this. And my team and I talk about this all the time. This one's so good. I have to whip out my phone and actually dig into this one.
Yeah.
Number 8. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. There are people at all levels in every type of company and community who would rather make their own decisions than hide behind those made by others. People who dare take responsibility. Rather than waiting to hide behind somebody who's willing to stick their neck out and make a decision. Make a decision.
Yeah.
Take responsibility.
Didn't he say that that's how bureaucracies are formed?
Yes. So the fewer such responsibility takers a company or community has, the more bureaucratic it is. So the more people you have that aren't willing to make decisions, you've got to go through some red tape at the top to get to a solution or an agreed upon approach.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we've got to have this signed by so-and-so department because we can't make a decision on it. A client comes, a customer comes to you and they're like, we'd really like a 3-legged desk instead of a 4-legged desk.
Oh, well, I got to call the president.
Got to call, like, got to go through these levels. I don't know exactly what that looks like for IKEA, but I get it. You don't want your people not being empowered.
Exactly. Like, I think a good takeaway from that right there is you want to empower your frontline employees somewhat. You know, you don't want to give them, you know,
free reign.
You know, but
to single-handedly take down the company.
Exactly.
But your employees wouldn't, you know, trust these people.
Right. And you have to give them that power, you know, to be able to take care
of the client.
It's all about customer service. Yeah.
Oh, I love this too. Taking responsibility has nothing to do with education, financial position, or rank. It's not your title. It's just everyone's responsibility to take responsibility.
Yeah.
And we were talking about making mistakes. Only while sleeping, one makes no mistakes.
I love that. I love that.
Unless you're married. And then you're like, I had a dream and cheated on me. You're in trouble. Men can somehow make mistakes while they're sleeping.
it's a skill. It's a talent, you know.
Making mistakes is the privilege of the active. What a blessing to be able to make mistakes. You're alive. You're thinking, you're doing, you're accomplishing. Of those who can correctly who can correct their mistakes and put them right. And then you're different. You've learned.
You know, mistakes. Okay. So the Buddha says, right, life is suffering, right? So in that part right there, you're suffering, right? Probably because you made some mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and nothing is perfect, right? So there's this just a wheel of mistakes that are happening. But there's also the opposite, the flip side to that. Well, you're correcting mistakes, so you're learning from those mistakes, and you're growing for those mistakes.
Absolutely.
And you're not making the same mistake over and over.
The goal is that team member will be a better employee They're growing.
Yes.
They're valuable. Mm-hmm. There was a story I heard the other day. I don't know where I heard it. Was it here? That was talking about a VP or someone who made like a $500 million mistake. And he drafted his resignation.
Yes.
Submitted it to the CEO and was like, I am, mm-hmm. I will bow out. I've done this company wrong. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And the president, the CEO was like, you're not leaving.
You're my guy now.
You're my guy.
Yeah.
I've invested $500 million in you. Or whatever that number mm-hmm. was.
Yeah.
I've invested so much in you. Mm-hmm. You're more valuable now to me after your mistake than you were before.
Right.
I love that line of thinking. Yeah. Not yes. that you want your people to be haphazard and reckless. That's right. not the goal.
But
that's
if somebody's going to take ownership, it's take responsibility, right? That's what we're talking
gonna
about.
Going to come with mistakes.
Yeah. But for somebody to take ownership of that huge of a mistake.
That's true.
It's like, you know what? Saw me. I'll just bow out now. You don't, no need to fire me.
You get in here and you fix this.
Right. No. Just
yeah, because you've got some things to do.
Yeah. Like, so that's character.
I love that.
And that's something that's more valuable than like any skill set mm-hmm. that they may have, anybody may have.
Yeah. I think I came across your bureaucracy statement. The fear of making mistakes is the root of bureaucracy. And the enemy of development.
Ah, that's right.
The enemy of development, which is right. Mm-hmm. You've got to wait for someone else who's willing to make a mistake to take ownership, take responsibility, make a decision mm-hmm. versus just making progress. You live the culture of the company. You know the company. You're an ambassador of the company.
Yeah.
You know, make a decision.
Yeah. And the fear of making mistakes.
Yeah.
What's the next part? Say it again.
Is the root of bureaucracy?
It's the root of bureaucracy.
Yeah. That's why you have all of, even for founders who implement this type of structure in their company. Oh, you create something, it's got to be signed off on this by this department and mm-hmm. this department and this department.
Right.
They're planting the root
yeah.
of bureaucracy.
Yes.
It's less efficient. Ultimately, that'll cost that company. I love this too. No decision can claim to be the only right one.
Right. Right.
In ISC2, the world's leading certifying body for cybersecurity professionals, we have these exams that are nightmares to take. Mm. They're so challenging because it will have multiple right answers.
Ah, which is the most right answer.
Which is the most right answer, and it really gets you to think
about. Is it the one with the longest answer?
See again. See. But
I start going abacadabra.
I'm feeling this one.
Yeah.
So that's how I passed, actually. No decision can claim to be the only right one. There are multiple right decisions in any given
situation. And so, like, just thinking about right now. So when you have your team, mm-hmm. right, and everybody has an idea, right? Like, there could be multiple in there that could be a great decision.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing that differentiates is you have to choose one.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you can't say, okay, well, let's try them all. Like,
yeah,
that's not feasible, right? Even though there's out of five people meeting, right? There's a group, your team is five, three of them have stellar ideas, and the other two they're not horrible, but you know, if you implement them, they would probably mm-hmm. work and get you the result that you're looking for,
yeah.
But you have these other three that are, oh wow, those are great ideas. Which one do you choose? Which one do you take? Because you have to take one.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea, and this is not going to be common probably, I like the idea of not meeting.
Ah.
And as people come across their problems, there's something to be said for like collaborating and trying to mm-hmm. come up with the best answer. And I think there's a time and a place for that.
Yeah.
But more often than not, I tell my team, you solve the problem.
Mm.
And then next week, someone else is going to run into the same problem. They have to solve it all over again.
Right.
But they might solve it better than the other person solved it.
True.
Or we might have a lesson learned there. And so there is a certain efficiency in just having a blueprint and doing it the same way every time. But is that growth?
Right.
Is that optimizing, you know, it's, I just think fail fast, fail forward, make a decision. We will learn, we will grow.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that.
There's risk in that.
There's, yeah.
There's some uncomfortable
for sure
feelings that are mixed in with that. I love this too, how they bring number 8 on home. It is always the mediocre people who are negative, who spend their time proving that they're not wrong.
Right. Right. Sit with that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
how many people do you know would climb a mountain, spend all company resources trying to prove that they didn't make a mistake?
Mm-hmm. You see?
Yeah. Instead of just moving forward, it's always the strong person who is positive and looks forward. I love that.
I love the way it stayed in there. Mediocre, right? Because I think we all battle with some form of mediocrity, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like no. I you know, it's like I refuse to be mediocre. Mm-hmm. I refuse to be average, right? So how do you... You know, you just, like you said, just move forward. Because if you're trying to prove that you're not mediocre, right?
Yeah.
You're already kind of counter, you know, counteracting there. But yeah, that's a, I love that statement though.
Number 8 itself could be my company Bible.
That's a game changer right there.
It just has so many nuggets in it that are incredible.
Yeah.
But I love number 9. It's the last one. You ready?
Let's go.
Most things still remain to be done.
Ah, that's a perfect one to end it with.
Beautiful. And how beautiful that he ended his company Bible with, we're not done.
We're not done. Well, that was his whole reason.
This is the end. We're not done.
For IKEA to be immortal, the company itself to be immortal without him, even though he was the sole owner. It's like, hey, there's more to be done. You know, I love that because that's very close to something that I often say, no matter how far into a project or say this lifetime that I'm in right now, it's like, we're just getting started.
Yeah.
You know, at every level, it's like, we're just getting started because it's that freshness. Just
getting started.
Keeping it fresh
new and exciting. I love it.
That's what that is. What's next?
Absolutely. There's always a what's next. The feeling of having finished is a sleeping pill, is essentially you're done, you can rest.
Done. Yeah.
There's a time for active recovery.
Yes.
We're doing that right now.
It's needed, right?
Yeah, much needed. So. Mm-hmm. But there is always more to be done.
Always.
And
it's never done.
I love how they also say, happiness is not reaching your goal. Happiness is on the way.
Yeah.
And I think about my son and I have planned to take a gap year and hike the Appalachian Trail. I think I had mentioned that to you before. And I think about, like, what will it feel like to have finished? And I often try to imagine that feeling because that's what will get you through the journey is feeling like I can do this. I'm at the finish line and I did it. But the beauty in it is not the finish.
Right.
It's not reaching the goal.
Right.
It's everything along the way. The obstacles, the lessons learned, the reflection, the gratefulness, the, you know, just the time.
Yeah, all of it.
All of it.
You know, it's a, pretty sure I've brought this up before, but it's the journey, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Sisyphus, right? Have I brought that up before?
I don't think so. I think I am learning. Today I learned.
Ah,
I
was okay. So Sisyphus. So Sisyphus was a demigod, and he was punished by the gods to push a boulder up a hill for eternity. That was what he did, right?
Wow.
Only to, when you get to the top of the hill, for it to roll back down. Next day, had to push the boulder right back up that hill. And that was his punishment. Now, he flipped it on the gods. By that boulder, that action of pushing it, the energy put into it was his purpose. So his purpose became his joy. It became everything that he was alive for. So it wasn't about reaching the top. It was about doing it.
Yeah.
Right? It's because the next day.
Doing it better. Doing it faster. Doing it more efficient.
Yeah.
I'm stronger. Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of the similar concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how all nine of these things tie in to each other.
They flow. Right.
There's an enthusiasm when you have them. Still things remain to be done.
Yeah.
And very simple true. And with responsibility, taking responsibility. I mean, just all of this flows. And this information is not new. We've seen it time and time again with every founder.
Right.
It's just so eloquently stated and organized.
Together. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
He puts it together.
Like he packages desks. Like he packages furniture.
That's how he packaged this.
That's
amazing because from the first one, it just kind of connects to the next one.
Yeah.
And the next one. And then it ends.
So beautifully.
Yeah.
There's
so
more to be done.
Definitely recommended for any founder, you know, going through it with their company.
Highly.
To visit some like... If you're having problems and you can't figure out what it is, what's the issue, right? It's like going back to first principles. You go back to first principles, implement this framework, really, that's what it is. And put it, you know, just put your business into this through your business's eyes, through this framework, you're going to uncover issues.
Yeah.
And correct them.
Yeah.
You know?
Much like I spent the weekends, we've got some things to fix.
Yeah.
There's most things still remain to be done. And simple and profit is not a dirty word.
No.
Just like founders focus, most things still remain to be done. We have more to come.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What does he say? That's 373,000 more to go.
Yeah, 1,000 more to go. Always 1,000
more. Always 1,000 more to go, no matter what.
Yeah, it took me a while to do that math.
Like, wait.
This number is not changing. I know I'm bad at public math, but yes, there's always more to learn, grow, do. Yeah. And I look forward to the next one.
So do I. So, hey guys, if you're still listening, for reals, yay. But let us know, who do you want us to dissect and deep dive on?
Yeah.
You know, just kind of explore here in a conversation on Founders Focus.
I love homework. Give me some homework.
Homework, come on. Because we're never really done.
Never.
There's always more. Well, looking forward to the next one, Miss Gina.
Thank you again, Angel.
Always. Absolutely. We'll see you soon.